5 a.m. And for those of you sitting in the audience and having watched me on TV, this is my first time that we're not being televised, although we are recording the audio portion. Thank you for coming, and we'll get going with a roll call. I have Representative Paul Seaton, my Vice Chair, Representative Laura Reinbold, myself, Representative Gaddis, Representative Peggy Wilson, Representative Dan Sadler, Representative Tammy Wilson, and I think we have also in the audience that will be helping present is Commissioner Mike Hanley and Susan McCauley, and I apologize for not knowing your title. With that in mind, on our agenda today, we'll be hearing about a 3 to 5 minute presentation on the Common Core outside of Alaska by Joy Pullman of the Heartland Institute. And I think I'm being told that she's online or offline. And then we'll hear from Commissioner Mike Hanley and Dr. Susan McCauley. They'll present the Alaska Education Standards, the Smarter Balance, and the Common Core. I'll remind folks that due to limited time and to ensure that our questions are being able to be answered, that we'll be asked today to have questions that were previously submitted. We'll see what we have for time. I do think that I've had a lot of people that are in the audience and online that have been really good about submitting questions, and I've asked the commissioner to fold those questions into be part of his presentation. All the more reason that we'll hold our questions till the end, because I think that we've gotten a lot. I think there's a lot more to be answered, and with that in mind, if you do have questions, my staff, Jim Ellis, who will raise his hand, he'll be glad to take your questions, pass them on to the commissioner, and get them back out as part of this committee. So we'll put them back on basis. Do have Representative Wes Keller in the audience, and Senator Dunleavy in the back, and Representative Shelley Hughes. So thank you for coming. I don't think I see the superintendent of Mat-Su School District here and the president of our local Mat-Su School Board sitting with our school board member Eric Cordero and our school board member Sarah Welton. And I think that covers our elected officials, and if I missed anybody, I apologize. I understand that Senator Gary Stevens is online in Kodiak. Thank you, Senator Stevens. With that in mind, I will ask, Jim, do we have Joy online? And Joy Pullman, if you're online, please introduce yourself for the record, and let's get going.
Hi, my name is Joy Pullman. I am an education research fellow for the Heartland Institute. Can you all hear me?
I don't think we can. I'll ask somebody to not only shut the door, but I don't know how to increase the volume here. Jim, do you? And we are being joined by Representative Harriet Drummond. Joy, give it another shot and let's see how we do.
All right, this is Joy Pullman with the Heartland Institute. Is that any better?
It is better. I think it may be as loud as it can get. Okay, well,
we can hear. We just want to make sure other people can.
Okay, go ahead, Joy.
All right. So as I mentioned, and I'll do it again, I'll try to be as clear as possible and hope you all can hear me very well. My name is Joy Pullman. As I said, I'm an education research fellow for the Heartland Institute, which is a Chicago-based think tank that focuses on state legislatures, and our goal is to research and promote ideas that empower individuals. So I want to thank Representative Gaddis for the opportunity to speak today, and she asked me to talk about, first of all, kind of to outline the nationwide concerns about Common Core in general and the Smarter Balance Consortia that Alaska has joined, and then kind of give some more Alaska-specific information. So I'll do that as quickly as possible. So let's look at, there's been, in the past couple of months, there have been 16 states out of the original 45 that signed up for Common Core. 16 of them have decided that that was perhaps not the wisest choice and have reconsidered that decision. So some of the main concerns leading state lawmakers to do that and state boards of education have been, I'll list these off here and then I'll kind of explain a little bit the origin of the Common Core, the cost that it will impose on local schools, the academic quality of the Common Core, its connections to a data mining of students and the locks of state and local control. So let's talk about that, and I'll just give you a few bullet points. So what folks are talking about is they bring up their concerns to their lawmakers, which I'm sure that many of you have started to hear from your constituents as well. So the Common Core was written, you know, the common label for it is state-led, but that usually doesn't in reality mean what most people think when they hear the term. It was written by a set of committees that were met behind closed doors and not subject to any open records or open meeting laws. And then, you know, there were no elected officials involved, it's very unclear about who said what, in clear contrast to the typical way of making state law, which, as you know, is, you know, open to the public and required to be transparent in many different ways. And the cost concerns especially come because Common Core relates to almost everything about education that happens inside a school. So standards determine what kids will and will not learn. They basically outline, you know, the content of what kids are supposed to know. But the biggest, so that, of course, requires changing textbooks and classroom materials, retraining teacher preparation. But it also requires, as the biggest portion for Alaska, new technology. So all Common Core tests, and this is inside the Smucker Balanced Agreement with the state, they will have to be administered entirely online by 2018. And states that try to use paper and pencil until then will have to pay more to be able to employ that option. So, and of course, the many, many, especially rural districts are having a big problem with this because not only does it require upgrading systems or buying new computers, but it also requires the bandwidth and the tech support to be able to have all the children in the school for the several hours during the several weeks of testing windows. That is required to administer these tests. So we've seen in recent months with other online testing system problems in Oklahoma, Indiana, Florida, Kentucky, Minnesota, and Ohio with servers crashing, student test information being lost, and the quality of tests being compromised just with existing tests because that infrastructure required is very complex and most states don't even know, they haven't tested out what it will take in order to be able to do only Common Core tests by 2018. So let's move on to the quality. Actually, if you, what I think will be important for lawmakers and the public of Alaska to know would to be kind of see a clear side-by-side comparison of Common Core and Alaska's new state standards. A colleague of mine at the National Coalition for World-Class Math compared, just to kind of see what was happening with the state standards, he compared the math standards for K-3. And they are 100% Common Core with an additional 14 Alaska-only standards. So it's really important, I think, for, like I said, the citizens of Alaska and for lawmakers to know, you know, what is happening in their state, to also see a clear all the way through for all the standards for a comparison between what the state has done and what the National Common Core is. If they're essentially the same, or essentially the same as all the other states that are allowed to add 15% of Common Core, then it is also as if the state has adopted the Common Core standards and not just the testing. Talking about the academic quality in general, this is where folks have had concerns about Common Core. And first of all, it has no track record anywhere. No one has ever tried it. It's a bunch of really great theories by a bunch of committees about what kids should know. But internationally recognized experts in both math and English and early childhood development have questioned the standards for their academic quality. So, for example, in math, we have a professor from Stanford University who sat on a Common Core committee, the only mathematician on the committee. He says Common Core sets up U.S. children to be behind our international peers in math at least one grade level in elementary school and two grades by high school, by the end of high school. And the same is true of the English standards, which Dr. Stan Stotsky, who has written the best standards in the country and is well known for those for her work in Massachusetts, has said that the English standards provide simply empty skill sets that are not helpful for teachers or students. There's another problem with especially the smarter balance testing that Alaska students are set to be faced, which is what are called constructed response questions. So those are a shift away from just the multiple choice questions children are used to answering or parents and teachers are used to more open-ended essay-type short answer sentence questions that must be graded by hand. And in the states that have done this before, there have been similar problems in getting, first of all, the accuracy right, But also, for example, Kentucky, that has done this for several years, just recently the entire system collapsed and they had to completely throw out all of the constructive response problems that the children had entered. So far we don't have any evidence that that format for testing is first of all effective, but second of all actually provides the sort of information you're looking for children. So with Rontu, there's concerns about the data mining, and I'll talk about that when I talk about Smarter Balance in a second. But last, the big concern is, of course, the loss of state and local control. And you'll see this in just a second when I talk about the Smarter Balance agreement that Alaska and every state involved has signed with that testing group. But states, of course, the Alaska Constitution gives the legislature the right to establish and monitor public education in the state. And if the state or the Board of Education has signed certain things over to national testing groups, that remove from them the rights and responsibility that they've been given by their own constitution. So let's talk about what exactly that is. So all the states involved with Smarter Balance have signed a memorandum of understanding, I've reviewed many of them, and they are, you know, pretty uniform. The Alaska's one promises that the state will, and I'm quoting here, it will address barriers in state law, statute, regulation, or policy to implementing the proposed assessment system and to addressing any such barriers. It says this twice in that agreement. So basically, the state has promised that it will change state law in accordance with what the testing consortia thinks is necessary to implement those tests, but we don't have any definition of what exactly will be necessary for the state to do in response to that. This presents further problems because Alaska has signed on as an advisory state in Smarter Balance, which means it does not have any vote in consortia decisions. So we don't know exactly what data Smarter Balance will demand from states or law changes that Alaska will have to make in order to comply with this agreement, because the tests are not final and not released right now. But we know a few things about what may be inside the tests, which are not only academic questions that you would hope and expect from an accountability test primarily, but Smarter Balance has also said in its agreement with the U.S. federal government that it may test students for, quote, self-management skills such as, quote, time management, goal setting, self-awareness, persistence, and study skills, which gets into some softer things that many parents are uncomfortable with having put in their children's file. And that same agreement with the federal government does say that the federal government will have full access to all the data that Smarter Balance gets from states through the test administrative hearing. The federal government is also reviewing Smarter Balance work, its committee work, and the exact items that go on those tests. And because of a recent change that the U.S. Department of Administration has made to federal student privacy law in 2012, it basically says that the U.S. federal government or any agency, any school district, can share any information about a child that they have collected in their testing databases or any other student information database without parent consent or knowledge. So that's where we tie into some of the data mining concerns that nationally parents are concerned about with Common Core. And lastly, in talking about Smarter Balance, in violation of federal law, three of them which prohibit the federal government from influencing or creating curriculum from Smarter Balance, which is entirely federally funded at this point. It received a federal grant through Race to the Top. Smarter Balance, as well as the other testing consortia for Common Core, they are constructing federally funded model curriculum for states to use in conjunction with Common Core. And they say in their agreement with the federal government that these are specifically designed to influence daily instruction. Because Smarter Balance comes not just with those end-of-course tests that you're used to seeing at the end of the year, but they...
Joy, can you hear me?
I'm sorry. I'm almost finished.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to check. You know, I don't want to run out of time. Please go ahead.
Oh, but just the last thing is that Smarter Balance tests aren't only at the end of the year, but they're designed to actually occur every several weeks if districts sign on to that. So they're a lot more intimate with the curriculum and instruction than the typical and historically tests have been. And that's all.
And thank you so much, Joy, for that presentation. That kind of brings us to the next step. What I wanted to do is to have somebody from out of state that is very familiar with what's happening in the lower 48 that brings us to our commissioner to explain to us what we're doing here in Alaska and how our differences are and potentially same. So as this forum. It's not really a presentation per se, but it's a forum that we can give back as the Education Committee and as our commissioner to explain how that's happened. That's kind of we've set it up. So our commissioner, if Dr. McCauley and commissioner want to come forward, sit at the table and kind of make the presentation forward. And Joy, you're certainly welcome to be online, and we'd love to hear from you afterwards. But with that in mind, I thank you again for taking the time to call in, 4 hours difference. And
thank you all for your attention.
You bet. And commissioner and Dr. McCauley, we'll give it over to you, whoever wants to start first. And again, we'll hold our questions and let them start with their presentation if we have time at the end. I'll bring it back to myself and try to call on folks and see if there's other parts that we can handle. So it's all yours.
Thank you. And I would mention that we did bring, I think you made copies as well, but we did bring copies of the last standards. They're in the back. If you don't have them, it might be worse because we'll probably reference them several times during our presentation. I'm not sure if we can pass those out if people need them, but I think it would be worth having those to in front of you to access. Thank you. Well, thank you, Representative Gaddis, for this opportunity. As you mentioned, my name is Mike Hannon, the Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development, and with me is Dr. Susan McCauley. She is the Director of Teaching lives here in the Valley. We were able to steal her away from leadership role here pre-charter, so she's been with us for several months now. Very much very knowledgeable about state standards. Joy's comments really provide a nice segue for us to into the comparisons and contrasts that we have with our standards and standards that have been adopted by other states around the country. And you know, it's just as a foundational comment, I'd like to say we're very fortunate that we have a governor, Governor Parnell, who is willing to fiercely stand up for Alaskans' rights. He has done so on many occasions, whether it's educationally or resources, for our rights and our ability to control our own destiny and control our own resources and control our own educational system. So we're very fortunate in that regard that we have a governor who is very sensitive to that. And I appreciate this opportunity to share with you the same message that we've been sharing with stakeholders around the state, with legislators, with school districts, with superintendents and with school boards, the same message. And so it's nice to continue to put the word out so that people have an understanding of where we are and probably just as importantly, where we aren't. What I'd like to do, Dr. McCauley and I, we'll start off and just do an overview of our standards and where we are, the history of getting us to where we are, and then we'll go into finish up with conversations around the Smarter Balance. I'm hoping that in 2 hours that we're going to be able to turn over a lot of stones and really see what's going on. That's my intent, is to put a lot of things on the table for you to get a lot of questions answered that you might have. And so I want to start off with just some very high-level details about the similarities and the differences between the Alaska standards and the Common Core standards. There are some things that Joy had mentioned that are true. And in what we're expecting for our students, our standards are very similar. In some places, the standards are identical. Because what we have heard from our legislators, from our stakeholders, from our employers in the state, is our kids need to be able to be competitive, not only in the state, but around the state and around the country and globally. Our kids need to be able to be competitive just for the jobs here in the Valley, here in the state. And they have to be able to compete when we look at how many people are brought in every year for jobs here in our state. They have to be able to compete with kids around the country, with young adults around the country, just for the jobs in their own backyard. we have an obligation, I believe, to make sure that our kids have that ability to be competitive. If they're not, we really restrict them only to being able to find jobs in their own communities and not beyond that. So when we look at the actual standards, what we want kids to learn, we are very, very similar to what's taking place around the country. We want, by the end of kindergarten, our kids to know all their letter names and sounds. By the end of fourth grade, we want them to be able to put capitalization where it belongs and punctuate a sentence for emphasis. In eighth grade, we want them to be able to understand algebraic concepts. You know, those are things that where we are very, very similar. And so, in some senses, people say, okay, you've adopted the Common Core. Well, what we expect from our students, yes, we've told our superintendents, we've told our school boards, we've told our stakeholders from the very beginning, we're very similar in what we expect from our students. The biggest difference is the ownership of the standards. Now, they had some rules that said you can add up to 15%. The first part of that statement is they said you could add up to 15%. And the first thing that I said with a red flag, and when I shared it with Governor Parnell as well, his red flags went up. Who says we can do what with our standards? Who says that we can add 15% or we can't add 15%? Who's going to tell us what we're going to put in our standards and what we're not going to put in our standards? So I don't think that there's an authority outside of this state that we're going to hand over and say, okay, we'll do what you say. We have the ability in our state to determine what we're going to put in our standards and what we're not going to put in our standards. So when the Common Core came along and said, okay, if you want to join the Common Core Club, if you want to say you've adopted it, here you go, and here's the rules. Said, we're not interested in the rules, but we are interested in making sure our kids are competitive. So there's a big ownership difference in what the Common Core states have and what Alaska has. And some people have said, look, the standards themselves, you know, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, you know, it's probably a duck. But when you look at standards overall, we're saying, you know what, standards, no matter where they are designed to help our kids be successful when they graduate from high school, successful for the next stage in their life. In that sense, yes, they walk like a duck. When you look at who owns them, who gets to actually make the decision, and who decides what goes in and what goes out and what percentage that is, there's a vast difference. Because I'm not willing to, and the governor's not willing, to say, yes, the people who put together the Common Core, and I think it's widely been known, although there are some questions about maybe people behind the scenes, that the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers, and that's basically commissioners around the country. There are 50 of us. It's just those two organizations that developed the Common Core with committees and things like Joy had mentioned. But I'm not willing to have a commissioner from another state tell us that. So that's where we are with our standards. And we're going to go into more details and the history of where we are more specifically about that. But I know that's a question right off the top. We've never hidden the fact from our superintendents that these standards are rigorous, they're going to raise the bar for our kids, and they're very similar to what's going on around the rest of the country. And I think that's been real clear from all the conversations, even with our state board meetings and in our legislature in 2012, prior to our adoption, we had several conversations about that. In fact, I know that every one of our state board members met with the chair of the House Education Committee, as well as other legislators during that year to discuss our standards with them. The other thing I would like to clarify at the beginning is the difference between standards and curriculum. And there's a significant difference between standards and curriculum. Standards set the target. Standards say that by the end of kindergarten, a student should be able to know their letters and sounds. It doesn't say the methodology. It doesn't speak to the pedagogical strategies. It doesn't speak to the textbook that you use. And also, you know, another example of a standard would be in eighth grade, a student should know some algebraic concepts. Now, a school may choose to use that in a CTE program. School may say, we're going to use that, like in Wrangell, as we build boats. As we build skiffs, we're going to incorporate that. on the North Slope, they're going to use the Inupiaq framing knowledge framing learning framework. The Inupiaq learning framework. CT, thank you very much. Career and Technical Education, thank you. So they may use that in a Career and Technical Education program where students are using doing hands-on learning. In Bethel, it may be building homes, building sheds and houses. In Wrangell, it may be building both. On the North Slope, it could be something around the Inupiaq learning framework that they're actually building their own curriculum. So the standards set a goal for what a student should learn at a certain level. The curriculum is what a local district decides is the best way to get there. And that means that a charter school may look different than a home school, may look different than a traditional school, may look different than a current technical education school. And those decisions are made by local school boards, superintendents, and local stakeholders. The state never steps in and says, this is how you're going to teach, this is the curriculum you're going to use. So you won't see in these, in our standards, you're not going to see any lesson plans. You're not going to see any methodology of how to teach this, because it's not there. We're talking about standards. We're talking about targets that we want all of our kids to be able to have and aim for, not the methodology. So, and Dr. McCall and I were just speaking earlier, as she was a principal at Birch Tree, and a very different school, and maybe just briefly, you can just share some of the things that you did at Birch Tree.
Well, we spent last summer, I moved to the department in January, and so I was principal at Birch Tree New School, the newest school in the Massachusetts School District, for 2.5 years, and a team of my staff and I spent last summer working on our curriculum, being certainly informed by Alaska's New English Language Arts and Math Standards. But certainly the way that we went about teaching those standards looked very, very different than it did in any other school in the district. And that's what parents wanted for their children. That's why they decided to bring them to a charter school that had a different pedagogy, a different instructional style. So, you know, I'm picturing my first graders. I had 308 students this year. I'm picturing my first graders, and part of our talking about the math standards was which of those standards could be taught through knitting. Seriously, I mean, knitting is a big deal in a Waldorf Method school, and so we were talking about that. We were talking about just very much art infused. So how could kids learn? What of the standards could they learn through art in the school? The point is that it was very locally informed and very different than other schools in the district in terms of curriculum and teaching methods. The standards that informed what kids should know and be able to do were Alaska standards, but we had complete autonomy over how we went about teaching kids those standards.
And so those decisions, really, if there are concerns about a curriculum choice, and oftentimes those come to me or come to Dr. McCauley, we say we point them back and say you need to talk to your school board, you need to talk to your local decision makers because they determine that curriculum. So we've had standards in place for a while. Districts decide how they're going to address those standards. We've got a different set of standards now. In that sense, they are. They're different, but systemically they're the same. And you know, districts, local districts, will get to determine how to address those. I'm going to turn it over to Susan now, just for some of the historical parts.
Yeah, maybe we'll just go over. We certainly heard comments around the lack of local involvement in our standards, and so I just want to give you a little bit of a history about how we came to adopt our new English language arts and math standards. But certainly, I hope you'll see we're very much locally informed. So we actually took almost 2 years to do that. The standards work began in February of 2010 with stakeholders from 7 regions across Alaska, including certainly K-12 teachers, but also university representatives, representatives from career and technical education, representatives from labor and industry. So a total of 229 folks worked on going through our standards, identifying the degree to which they were or weren't as rigorous as what was happening across the country, and then comparing what was happening across the country to our previous standards, standard by standard. The standard then went out for public comment. Our current English language arts and math standards went out for public comment in December of 2011. And so as has already been said, there are some similarities, a lot of similarities to the Common Core standards, but there are two primary areas of difference. One is that our stakeholders in Alaska added language to standards to increase clarity. There were places where they felt that the Common Core state standards were not sufficiently clear to provide direction to teachers. There were also standards that the Common Core omitted that they felt strongly should be retained, primarily in the elementary grades in math, in measurement standards. So the standards went out for public comment in December of 2011, and they went out for an extended public comment period of 6 months until May of 2012. 106 state organizations, including Rotaries, universities, chambers of commerce, Native corporations, 106 received a personal invitation to review and comment on our standards. Community meetings were held in the spring of 2012. The MATSU meeting was held on April 9th. Commissioner Hanley was in attendance at that meeting here at Career and Technical High School. Meetings were also held at Fairbanks and Bethel and Juneau in February and March. As Commissioner Hanley said, during the 2012 legislative session, the House Education Committee was briefed on our new standards, and each State Board of Education member met personally with at least one member of the House Education Committee. Standards again went out for public comment in December of 2011. There was a lot of public comment received, actually, and changes were made in response to that public comment. One example would be that originally our standards omitted English language arts standards for social studies, science, and technical subjects. Those are in the Common Core standards. Originally, we didn't have those in our draft standards. Public comment overwhelmingly encouraged us to have those standards in our standards. And so they were, in response to public comment from Alaskans, they were put into our standards. Standards were approved then by our school board, state board, in June of 2012, but I guess I should add one other thing. There were 10 webinars hosted by Department of Education staff that went out in our information exchange, which is a public newsletter that goes to thousands of folks across Alaska. So our EED, Department of Ed staff, hosted 10 webinars, and there were 18 different notices in our newsletter of opportunity for public comment. So it certainly is not my impression, nor would really the facts support, that these weren't locally informed and that there wasn't actually a very thorough local process with regard to the standards that we adopted. I guess just one other thing, and that is with regard to the rigor. There was a standard-by-standard analysis of the rigor of our previous standards as compared to our new standards. Our previous standards were found to be far less rigorous than these standards. I actually went through yesterday the line-by-line documents that our stakeholders from across Alaska worked on. And just if we just look at math in grades 3 through 10, they found that 68 out of 358 standards were more rigorous in the Common Core than in our previous standards. They found that there were only 10 cases where our previous standards were more rigorous than the Common Core standards. They found 81 out of 358 standards that were taught at a lower grade level in Common Core than in our previous standards. So when our educators from across Alaska looked at our previous standards, they felt very strongly that they needed revisions in terms of rigor, and they felt that what was happening across the country demonstrated that those standards were much more rigorous than our previous standards, and that we really needed to do something to bring our standards up to an acceptable level for our kids. So I think that pretty much summarizes the history and how we got to where we are now.
Great. And I'll just add to that our standards were submitted to the University of Alaska and through their ICER group, their research group, and they vetted our standards as well to confirm that they would prepare our kids for college. The University of Alaska was one of our primary stakeholders that has told us kids don't have enough yet. Kids are not prepared in general for the university system when they get here, and we need to up the rigor of what the kids are learning. 64% is what they've told us. 64% of students that enter the University of Alaska from Alaskan schools require at least one remediation course. That's one course that's a zero-level course, a non-credit-bearing course, before they can even get credit. The more, and statistically, the more courses that a student has to take that are non-credit-bearing, their chances statistically of graduating from college drop steeply. So that's one of our big stakeholders. The other ones we've heard from is employers, and saying that, and as a matter of fact, the last employer I heard from was from Red Dog Mine on Friday as I was coming up to this meeting, and he's been doing hiring and training since 1981 for Red Dog Mine and other mines. And he said it is getting better. From 1981, it's getting better, but we still need our kids to know more. That's part of what got us to where we are, part of the impetus for where we are. And I will say that the biggest comment we hear from educators as we go out, I haven't heard any of them say, I'm already doing this, piece of cake. I'm already doing more than this. Typically, the conversation is, wow, we're going to have to up our game a little bit. We're going to have to take our kids a little farther than we had planned, because they do recognize that we are raising the bar.
I just add one other thing. And just in terms of the usefulness of the standards themselves, that was another really relevant piece of feedback when they reviewed our previous standards. They're what we could refer to as first-generation standards. They were good in providing direction, but they're, in terms of coherence, in terms of clarity, in terms of not having a lot of overlap, in terms of having a standard be really clear about what a child's supposed to know and be able to do, feedback from educators across Alaska was that our previous standards were bulky. They were inconsistent. They were a little grab-baggish, and that the new standards are much more coherent in a way that helps to inform instruction with a lot less overlap grade to grade and a lot more clarity in terms of what specifically a child is supposed to know and be able to do. So it wasn't just the content, it was also the clarity with the way that the previous standards and the new standards.
So where we are now with standards, a year ago this month, our new standards were adopted. Districts have been working on those this year and transitioning from our old standards to the new. The standards that you have before you today were mailed. We sent electronic copies as well as hard copies for every teacher and administrator in the state shortly after they were adopted. So last summer, we sent these out to all 53 school districts. We've also begun training around this because there are some differences. What we're finding is we've narrowed the scope and we've deepened the scope. So we're not going, some would say, mile wide and an inch deep. We're narrowing the number of standards that should be taught, creating a better level of continuity, but we're going deeper. We're going into the integration of that knowledge. We're going into the application of that knowledge and the analysis of what you're learning as opposed to just the memorization of facts. So we're not interested necessarily just in content knowledge, although that's critical, but how do you use that knowledge that you have? That's a big difference in what we have now. So we have begun, and Dr. McCauley has been critical in doing trainings around the state for our teachers and for our leaders about how to change strategies in the classroom, not dictating how it's done, but suggesting, here are some new things that we're going to need to look at, but working on those trainings with all of our districts. Just recently, we've had 5 new requests from 5 districts around the state for us to go and do trainings this fall for their professional development before school starts. So we're excited about that, and honestly, I haven't shared this with the legislature yet, but this may be a place where we ask for some support from the legislature, for some funding support to provide additional trainings, to really strengthen our educational system, to prepare our educators to teach to these new standards. So we may see something in the governor's budget. We may not, but we may see something, because we definitely see that as a need. We're working really hard with the resources that we have to get those trainings out. Interestingly, in Alaska, and I don't know that I've heard of this in other states, we have got a few districts that have adopted the Common Core. And what those districts saw was that when they compared the Common Core, and I'm trying not to put words into their mouths, but having spoken to them and their boards, they made this decision on their own, and thankfully we're a local control state. They said the current standards, our previous standards, aren't high enough. We need to raise the bar. So several districts ahead of the state raised the bar and said, we're going to go with the Common Core. So we've got a few that have done that. Anchorage and Juneau and Copper Center, Copper River School District are among those. And recently, I sent a letter to those superintendents, among other things, sharing with them just updates about what's going on at the Department of Ed, what's going on with the federal government, where we are in several regards. But I also spoke to them about our new Alaska standards, which they're aware of. And I said, if you're one of those communities, one of those districts that's adopted the Common Core, we appreciate the fact that you've made local decisions. It doesn't negate statute and regulation, though, and our standards are in regulation, that you still have a responsibility to make sure that in those places that were different, and as Joy mentioned, especially in math in those early grades where we have measurement and patterning down earlier, in places where the standards are different, you still have a responsibility to address the Alaska standards. Because it's not fair to our children who are transient and move around the state to move from a place that's not teaching patterning and measurement early and go to then a place that's using our standards, and they are, and find themselves behind. So there's a responsibility, even if a district has said we've adopted the Common Core, that they have a responsibility to address those things that are in our standards that differ from the Common Core. So districts right now, they're in the midst of shifting gears. Some are looking at modifying their current curriculum, changing strategies. I was out in Kotzebue a few weeks ago. It was interesting that the math teacher was putting the new standards up on the wall, and he had each standard in a little strip, and he was scaffolding them for the children to see, for the kids in his class to see. He was a math teacher, so that he could say, see, you need this skill because it scaffolds over to this skill, and this is going to be important. So he was laying those out, and that's what districts are doing, is they're making those adjustments from our old to our new. You want to go into some of the additional data that I will say as a prelude, sure, to that, is that one of the concerns, and I heard it from Joy today, is the data issue and the data mining issue. And I'll address that a little bit more when I get to Smarter Balance. But we have moved forward totally aside from our standards. And it really is a separate conversation. So since it's come up in regards to standards, in regards to Smarter Balance, I thought it'd be erroneous if I didn't at least bring up the work that Alaska is doing. And I'll just hand it to you at, sure, this point, too.
Yeah, and Commissioner Hanley will talk more about the data specific to the assessments, but, you know, our assessments right now, which are standard-based assessments, the data that's provided is very similar to what will be provided when we move to new assessments, and that is how a child has done on an assessment. A student's gender is part of that. It's basic information about that is already provided when kids take the SBAs every year. But we are engaged in work with the Alaska Commission of Post-Secondary Education, the University of Alaska, and the Department of Labor and Workforce Development around longitudinal data that helps us better know how kids are doing when they leave the K-12 system. It has been very clearly stated at the legislative level that it is an expectation that we know if what we've done K-12 in fact adequately, effectively prepares kids for college and the workplace. And right now our data systems are really not effective in our knowing that. We hear discussion around remedial rates, and there is data about that, remedial rates in the University of Alaska system, but we're not able to look at any specific perhaps contributing factors to that. It's a lot of guessing right now, because the systems for K-12 information about how kids are doing and university how kids are doing, or how kids, adults by that point, they're not kids anymore, adults are doing in the workforce, they're all completely disconnected systems. So when people have questions or hypotheses about what might be contributing to such a high remedial math and reading, you know, at the courses at the freshman level, we're not able to inform that with any data. It's a lot of guessing because our systems are separate. So we are working in combination with those Alaskan organizations in order to bring together data in a way that helps us know if what we're doing K-12 is in fact adequately preparing kids for life, for college or the workforce.
And one of the big places that that's really important for us is when we look at the Alaska Performance Scholarship. A scholarship that's been in place for a couple of years now. And we want to know if the kids who are qualifying for these awards, if we have set the bar correctly, because if you've taken the proper courses, gotten the right grades, gotten the right scores on either work keys, ACT or SAT, then you qualify for a scholarship to an Alaskan Institute of Higher Education, not just the university. So we've been looking at that data specifically in regards to, so are our kids successful? When they qualify for the highest level, have we really trained them well enough, or have they been educated well enough to really be successful at the university level or in the career level? So that's one of the key parts of combining that data from the university to our K-12 system so that we can see how well we're doing with our kids. Before I move into Smart and Balance, and I didn't necessarily check this with you, but I'd like to just spend just a couple minutes, a few minutes, looking at some specific standards, because we've talked about what standards are and what standards aren't. I think it would be worthwhile to take a look, and Dr. McCauley can point out a few, and if you've got those in front of you, we can just jump through a few pages so you can see what the expectations are for our kids.
It may be a little awkward because for you to be flipping through packets at your seat. I'll just, maybe you want to take some notes about the pages I'm going to reference, or if you're able to look at them, that would be great. But I wanted to point out a couple in each area, English, Language Arts, and Math. So on page 25 of the English Language Arts Standards, this is where, it's actually page 24, where the foundational skills for kindergarten through fifth grade start. And so those are very much an emphasis in our standards. We're talking about, in first grade, distinguishing long from short vowel sounds and spoken single syllable words. And I'm actually just reading the standard word for word. This is what it says. Page 25 in grade 1, that students should be able to decode regularly spelled one-syllable words, no final E and common vowel team. In grade 2, they should be able to decode words with common prefixes and suffixes. So really very traditional and extremely important early literacy skills for kids. As we move up into middle school, on page 46 of the standards, we talk about the elements of literature.
Can I ask where are you reading? Would you say the column?
I'm sorry.
That you're reading.
Got it. You got it. Page 46. Should I wait for people to unpack them? Let's just give them a moment.
And for those that, I think there's a couple more packets in the back. If
there's some in the box. I didn't put them all out, but there's some below the table as well. So, okay, you're good, Eric.
We don't want you to go home with any.
There you go. And as you're unpacking those and turning to page 46, the standard that Dr. McCauley just mentioned, those are ones that they're standard reading. Phonemic awareness, they're very standard for understanding how to read. They've been around since we were all in school. It might have been at a different level. She read a kindergarten one that we probably would have had in first grade previously, but they're very basic reading skills. At least that one was.
Page 46, just as an example of middle school, the far left column, which is grade 6, number 2, and then just across the number 2s for grade 7 and grade 8, determine a theme or central idea of a text and how it is conveyed through particular details. Restate and summarize main ideas or events in correct sequence after reading a text. And then that's the elements of literature, talking about theme and main ideas. And that just builds in complexity from 7th grade to 8th grade. It's just some examples. I also wanted to, let's take a look real quick at page 49, standard 9 across the grade. So this is 49 is grades 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. So 9th grade, analyze how an author draws on and transforms source material in a specific work. For example, how Shakespeare treats a theme or topic from Ovid, or how a later author draws on a play by Shakespeare. In grade 9, I'm sorry, standard 9, grade 11 and 12, demonstrate knowledge of 18th, 19th, and early 20th century foundational works of American literature, including how two or more texts from the same period treat similar themes or topics.
And I'll just jump in at this point. Up until these new standards, our standards stopped at 10th grade. We never had 11th and 12th grade standards, which I think is erroneous in and of itself. But we do now. We have a continuum K-12.
So just to speak to math, maybe without referencing specific standards, the kindergarten standards talk about adding and subtracting up to 5. They're very clear. First grade, adding and subtracting up to 10. Second grade, adding and subtracting up to 20. And knowing single-digit sums from memory. And this is partly what our teachers across Alaska have responded to, and that's the increased specificity of what a child is supposed to know and be able to do in terms of something as simple as math facts. That it's not random, that it's very clear about what is expected at each grade level. So I don't know if you want me to do any more, if that does what you intended.
I think that does what intended. What you don't see in the standards are how to teach it. Whether you do it through knitting, whether you do it through building a boat, or whether you do it through a standard textbook type of curriculum. That's not what standards do. Standards set an expectation for the end of a grade. So at the end of the grade, a kindergartner should be able to add and subtract numbers to 5. So there, and we leave that to local districts on how to do that. Thank you for doing that. And I'll move now into where we are with smarter balance. Because I know that's a big question that people have had. Our constitutional responsibility as a state, that's not just as a department, but as a state, is to establish and maintain a system of public education for all students. And that's been defined in 4 basic components. One of those is to set standards for students, set targets for students. The other one is to monitor, to assess students on their proficiency and on their growth towards proficiency on those standards. So we had an assessment in place. We called it our SBA, our standards-based assessment, to measure growth on our previous standards. As our standards shifted, we needed to find an assessment that matched the new standards. So we had a couple of options. As we've always had options in the past, we had options this time. And one option is to develop our own assessment. We did that in the past because our standards were different than every other state. Every state had their own standards. They all had their own assessments. So we developed our own in the past. So we have that option. We can develop our own. Another option is to find one that aligns with our standards, that measures what we're teaching. And so as we look around, and we consider the assessments that are out there, and I know several assessments have been pointed out, but our previous SBAs don't work. It aligns with a different set of standards. So it doesn't give us information about our new standards, not accurately anyway. There are other assessments that are out there. The Terra Nova we've had on the book is a norm reference test. It's not a summative test, and it's not aligned to our new standards either. The Iowa Test of Basic Skills is one that's been around. We used to use that way back. Others have said it aligns, and I saw a Washington Post article that said it aligns, but when I check with the company, Iowa Test of Basic Skills, they say it doesn't align. So they don't match up with our standards. So the important thing for us is develop or find one. And one thing we heard loud and clear last year during the legislative session is we want to be able to compare our kids. Right now there's one assessment that's used every other year in fourth and eighth grade. It's called the NAEP test. It's the only tool we have, and it doesn't really align with most state standards either, but it is one test that's given across the country. It's really the only tool we have to compare our kids to what's taking place around the rest of the country. So we heard from our legislature and other stakeholders, we want to know how our kids measure up. We want to know how our kids are doing compared to other states. So when we looked at that, and we actually had questions during the session of when will we get on board with a test? So that led us up to looking at the two assessments that are being developed for the Common Core. And as I stated earlier, our standards are very similar in what we're expecting of our students to what's in the Common Core. So in that sense, we felt, having looked at it and looked at our own standards, having our standards compared to the Common Core, we felt that the two assessments that are being developed for the Common Core would provide valid and reliable results for our students with Alaska standards. So the two that are being developed is Smarter Balanced and PARC. A high-level difference, PARC is doing end-of-unit exams, so there's multiple exams that you'd give at the end of a course, end-of-course exams, as opposed to a summative test given once a year. We really felt that Smarter Balance was a better fit for Alaska, and so we joined Smarter Balance in April as an advisory state. We signed an MOU that was committed to by myself, the chair of the State Board of Education, our chief procurement officer, and the Governor Parnell. As an advisory state, what we've joined is an ability to give input into an assessment that's being developed. What we've committed to funding-wise is nothing. We haven't received any funds, and we haven't paid any funds. There are no expenditures listed in the MOU. There's no commitment in the MOU. And I know a lot of you have it. I provided it to Barbara, so I know that a lot of you have seen it. There is no financial commitment at this point of state funds to Smarter Balance. What we will anticipate committing to is the purchase of an assessment. When we purchase that assessment, we're looking at purchasing item development, a test construction, and the analysis of those items. That's basically what we've purchased. What we will be purchasing, if we go with Smarter Balance, what we will purchase with that assessment. Interestingly, we're not purchasing from Smarter Balance the scoring of the test. They don't even do the scoring of the test. What they're doing is they're providing us an assessment. And you know, we can get a paper pencil or technology-based. So we're purchasing an item bank laid out in an adaptive format on technology, with technology or paper and pencil. That's it. That's where our commitment has been. And in that sense, we haven't purchased that test. Like I said, no funds have been committed to. The assessment is a tool that measures growth of our students on our standards. It doesn't impact our standards. It doesn't impact curriculum. It's an assessment. It's a test. Tests don't teach. Tests reflect and provide data on how teaching went, how effective teaching was. So we're looking at that assessment, and I know it's been trickled down to, you know, it has impact into our standards. Our standards are separate. We're looking for a tool to measure our kids on our standards. Harder Balance will reflect that. Any assessment we choose, ideally, will reflect that. But it doesn't impact our standards. Our standards are what we're teaching to our kids. There is no curriculum tied to Alaska standards. There's no intention of curriculum. There's no push for curriculum. And it goes back to the first comment we made. That's a local decision. Here's the target. Local schools, local districts, local school boards determine, okay, now how do we want to get there? What strategies do we want to use? Even within districts, we know that there are multiple ways to get there. So Smarter Balance, our MOU, we have signed on as an advisory state, which means we have not fully committed, the MOU states, we have not fully committed to the consortium. But we do support its work. That's one of the key points. The MOU that was signed by other states said to join, states must adopt the Common Core. We physically crossed that out when we signed our MOU. And the governor actually initialed that part. And our MOU that we signed with Smarter Balance says we will have adopted college and career ready standards. The term college and career ready, that's been a term that's been around a long time. Because that's kind of our target of what we want our kids to be able to do. So, it says that, and then underneath it, I'm just going to pull out the MOU real quickly here. And underneath that, we've actually added a couple of sentences that are unique to Alaska's as well. And I wasn't sure that Smarter Balance would accept it once we changed the MOU, because it is different than other states. No, I didn't see it. A reason to have other states MOUs. I will find it for you in a moment. What it did say, there we go, I'm sorry, it's right underneath the place where we crossed out the Common Core. The sentence where the Common Core is crossed out says, I'm sorry, page 3, if you have it, underneath responsibilities of states in the consortium, second line, the part that's crossed out says, adopt college and states will, each state agrees to, adopt college and career-ready standards, and to which the consortium's assessment system will be aligned. Now, we put another statement underneath that, and that statement says, Alaska did not adopt the Common Core state standards, but has adopted new content standards that are college and career-ready and sufficiently similar to the Common Core state standards that the use of the SBAC, Smarter Balance, assessment will provide valid and reliable results. So that's a public document. We said we didn't adopt the Common Core. We're not going to let other people decide what we're going to do, but we believe that our standards are similar enough that we believe that this assessment would provide valid and reliable results for the data. And I'll get to that in just a minute about race to the top. There are other concerns about the cost of what we have committed to. We haven't committed to any costs at this point. There's nothing in the MOU that speaks to cost. But our work with Smarter Balance, currently we spend $50.43 per student per assessment in the state. That equals about a $4 million cost for operating an assessment system in the state right now. Smarter Balance, with the three components that we will purchase. And that's all, remember, the three components were item development, testing, analysis of those items. Their component is in the $20 range, but we recognize that we'll also have to continue to do project management, we'll have to have them scored, we'll have to do all those things. With all those components, to compare apples to apples, if we go with a smarter balance, it'll cost us $49.24 a student. So that's $1.19 difference. If we test the exact same grades, the difference is about $400,000 in the savings. I don't honestly anticipate a savings, because when we have to go to a paper and pencil test, that will cost us additional for scoring. So we anticipate a wash, pretty close to a wash. And it's one of the reasons, one of two reasons, that we didn't go to the legislature with an increment request for assessment yet. One is we don't anticipate an increase, but two, we hadn't adopted the smarter balance during the last session. So we just hadn't gotten there yet. But right now, if we test in the same grade levels, we'll be looking at a very similar cost. So we'll be right at about $4 million. Now, there are also formative assessments that can be given. Basically, a formative assessment is an assessment that a school or a teacher could give to their students to see how they're doing and progressing towards the end of the year test. If they want to see how they're doing on teaching those standards, they can be formative. Those are less formal. Those are given in classrooms. They're designed to provide data for teachers. That's not reported out to districts or out to the state. We haven't determined yet the full districts to purchase those on their own if they want to, or if we think it's something that we should offer at the state level. But there is only one assessment at the end of the year. It's a summative test. In regards to the data that will be provided during the assessment, our responsibilities for providing data are no different than they are now. Since Smarter Balance isn't even the one scoring our assessments, they won't even necessarily have our data. Our test company, currently we use DRC right now, that does our scoring of tests. So we haven't decided, but we've talked to a couple of vendors who could score this assessment. So there are no additional requirements for data than we have right now. So that part is good. The technology component. There have been several things listed in there. One is the adaptive component of that. Smarter Balance test, one of the strengths we believe of the Smarter Balance assessment is that it's an adaptive test. If a student knows all the answers, they are going to ace this test. They're going to have a relatively short test. And they're going to go right through, and it'll be shown as probably advanced proficient on this test. If a student misses a question, rather than just stopping and saying they missed it, this test will give another question for clarification. How much do they know and how much don't they know? So if it's a complex math question and they don't get that right, then they know some of the basics. So there'll be other questions that will give us a better understanding of just where that student lies. Rather than just saying they don't know this skill, we'll have a better idea of what skills they do know and what level they are at. And then we'll go back to the next question and the next topic, back to the same thing, back to that track of proficiency. So that's what an adaptive test does. Questions around our ability to do it in Alaska. Currently, we do testing across the state with our work keys test. So that's done in 11th grade. Relatively small sample compared to 3 through 8 and 11, if that's what you choose to go with. But that test is currently being done online, and we've been able to do that successfully. We do anticipate that there'll be some challenges. The interesting thing, and I hope that this component of the conversation is kept a little bit separate. In the 21st century, every testing company is going to online tests. ACT is going to online tests. SAT is going to online tests. Everybody is moving to online tests. We need to move our state. We need to move access to technology and to bandwidth along, because that's the world we live in. Our kids need access to that. And so online testing is a component of Smarter Balance. It's also a component of most other tests. So I think we need to address that. We need to recognize it. And there are concerns. How are we going to be able to get this done? We're currently working with districts, and we're checking bandwidth and speed and capacity of all districts. So we're doing that this summer and in the fall. So we'll have an idea in the fall of which districts will be able to do online testing and which may still be needed to do paper and pencil. If we have a test we can't give to our kids, we have an erroneous test. I'm not willing to go forward and say it only works for some kids good enough. We'll recognize our responsibility to assess our kids to find out how we're doing. And if we have a test that doesn't do that, we've got the wrong test. So bottom line right now is our commitment is to make sure that we get an assessment that measures how our kids are doing on our standards. And that's the bottom line. We've joined Smarter Balance so we can have a say, and we can have some insight into how this test is being developed. That's what joining the Smarter Balance has done for us at this point. It hasn't committed us to buying that test yet. But right now, we're sitting at the table with them. We get a chance to look at items being developed. We may have a chance to field test that test if districts are willing and want to do that. We may have that opportunity open to us. Our eyes are wide open as to we want the best test for kids and the best bang for the buck for Alaska. If we find something else, and we know that vendors right now are working on other tests. ACT, I just sat down with the ACT rep. They are working on one called Aspire. Haven't talked to them. I don't think their test is there yet. It's getting there. I know Alabama has actually adopted it. When I look at application of knowledge, I don't see it quite there yet. But we're watching that carefully, because if that becomes another option for a test, that's another option for a test. So the bottom line is we want an assessment that will measure our kids. So that's where we are with that one. That one will be online as well. Cost of that one is, at least tentatively, they don't have that one done yet either, but the cost of that one is about $1, $1.50 cheaper than Smarter Balance is what they quoted me. So one other component about the technology, because we picture right now, we have a relatively small window. We have a week window that we give our test, and we have a week of makeup. So technically a two-week window, but it all should be given within a week. With an online assessment and the ability to get back results much quicker, that window will be expanded. Smarter Balance said it could be as long as 3 months. Now we'll be able to, within our state, determine, who will test when. But let's say you have an elementary school that has a computer lab. You don't have computers in every classroom. You'll be able to utilize that computer lab. Our third graders are going to test this week. Fourth graders next week, fifth graders next week, sixth graders next week. So over the course of a month, 5 weeks, you can get all of your kids through just with a computer lab. So having that elongated, extended window addresses some of those issues. Because when I looked at what we currently have, a week window, getting everybody through, it really would require bandwidth. Every computer, every class would probably have to be connected with a computer to be able to do that. So we recognize that being a challenge.
If I might add, we have quite a few districts in Alaska that use measures of academic progress. It's just commonly referred to as MAP. It's a dynamic assessment where it gives a harder or easier question based on how a student responds. And that's being used very effectively in rural Alaska. In Northwest Arctic Borough School District, it's in Upeat School District out on the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. And so, there certainly are examples in the state right now of rural districts using online assessments very effectively with not a lot of trouble.
We'll just go ahead and kind of wrap up where we are and kind of wrap up the conversation in general. I've tried to, I thank you for providing me the questions, and I've done my best. Oh, I did hear race to the top. So before I wrap up, I'll address Race to the Top. One of the big red flags for us when Race to the Top first came out, the first round of Race to the Top, and there's been several, the first round of Race to the Top tied the Common Core to funding. And we saw that as a huge red flag. We saw that as, okay, first with the Common Core, somebody's going to tell us what we can do with our standards. We can add or subtract only a certain amount. Secondly, we see federal funding tied to the Common Core, and we're saying, you know, no thank you. We did not apply for that first round. When it came out the second time, they said, okay, we heard some concerns, so as long as you have college and career-ready standards, we did not apply. The third round was the Early Learning Challenge. We didn't apply because what people have recognized is that for significant amounts of money, there are, I wouldn't say strings attached, I'd say ropes. You know, there's some pretty strong commitment. And what we saw states doing is, we're taking this money, and, you know, we were on a path to go like this. Now we're forced to go off here. Not only that, when those funds run out, we're committed to continuing on. For example, the Early Learning Challenge, the last round of Race to the Top, it had some ideas in there that were good, but it really wasn't the direction the state was going. We would get significant amounts of money, and in return, we would have to implement things we hadn't planned to implement, and we would be committed to about $10 million a year afterwards, keep in place what those funds committed us to. We've never applied to Race to the Top. So it's not that we didn't get a grant, or, you know, we just never applied because the cost was too high. And so so there have been, people have said that, you know, well, we needed to adopt these standards, or we had to adopt a, you know, join SBAC or something like that to access Race to the Top. We've never been connected to Race to the Top. We see federal overreach in Race to the Top as significant and not worth our participation. So we're much better off with the funds that we have than, I'll say, leveraging our souls to access some federal money.
And if we can hold that question for a bit, because I'm there with you. I'm 10 steps behind you, but go ahead.
Okay. So just to wrap up where we are, we have never tried to hide the fact that we had significant stakeholder input. That's probably the biggest difference between our standards and others. I just came from Salt Lake City on Friday, and I sat there with other commissioners who said, you know, we just bought in, man. The standards came out, and we just grabbed them. They had a commissioner and a governor say, let's do it. Let's get this money. And we didn't do that. We spent a lot of time with a lot of stakeholder input to develop what we have and say, we're not playing in your sandbox. We're going to take our standards. We're going to take the best of what's out there. So we do have standards that match up very closely with what we expect our kids to do with what other kids are expected to do around the country. The biggest difference is who gets to determine what they are and who gets to determine what's in them. So that's the biggest difference there with Smarter Balance. I understand the confusion because the original MOU stated you had to adopt the Common Core. In conversations I had with the governor and red flags that we had, he said, we don't want those ties. Can we access an assessment that will test our kids without those strings? And as an advisory state, we have the ability to back out without cause at any time. There are no strings. They have no leverage to keep us there. I mean, if we just stop going right now, there's nothing they can do. I mean, we don't owe them anything. So they can't say, no, you can't leave. Well, we just won't go anymore. There are no strings there. So we have that freedom, but what it does is it allows us to the one assessment that we think right now, to date, is the closest tool to measure our kids. We've got some insight and we've got some say into how those items are being developed. The purview of that Smarter Balance doesn't go beyond that test of element. It doesn't reach back into what our districts want to do with their curriculum. It doesn't reach back into our standards. Our standards are what they are. Our districts get to choose what they want to do. The Smarter Balance purview stops at a tool to assess our kids. So in that sense, a year ago, I would go to meetings with other commissioners at CCSSO. That's the Council of Chief State School Officers. Conglomerately, we're called chiefs. So I went there, and I can't even tell you how many conversations I had with, come on, join the Common, why aren't you joining the Common Core? Everybody, you know, it's kind of like everybody's doing it. I thought I was in middle school again. Come on, everybody's doing it. And I said, I don't understand why you want, what that matters to you. Why would you want me to join the Common? We've got good standards. We are where we are. We've got stakeholder input. And I even sat in a conversation with Bill Gates and others. We had about eight of us at the table, and he found out we hadn't adopted the Common Core. He said, come on, how come you haven't adopted the Common Core? And he's a smart guy. He knows his educational stuff. I explained it to him, too. I said, because we've got good, solid standards that are going to get our kids, make our kids competitive, but nobody's going to tell us what we can put in and what we can't. Interestingly, the last two conferences I've been to this year, people are going, God, I wish we had vetted these standards a little bit more. And I'm saying, yeah, probably a good idea. Because we've intentionally taken what we think is good for our kids and intentionally left off and kept our own. There is no they in our standards. We've kept them our own. And we're seeing other states going, yeah, maybe I should have, we should have thought that through a little bit more. I'm comfortable with where we are. I think we've got good standards for our kids. I think it's going to be good for our kids. I think it's going to be good for our educational system. And we've got control. We can go back to the state board and say, we need to make some adjustments here and there. Common Core states don't really have that ability. We do. So with that, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, but we'll just kind of wrap it up and...
Then I'll take over.
There you go.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Wrap it, and then I'll take over.
So we're good.
I think we're wrapped.
And this is the great part about being a chair. I can ask my own questions first. Here are questions that are asked of me, and I don't quite understand this. So, I understand that the state of Alaska did not adopt the Common Core curriculum, and therefore not adopting did not receive any Race to the Top monies that were attributed to adopting the Common Core curriculum. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
With that in mind, if certain school districts adopted, and since we're here in the MAT-SU, and I'm looking at the superintendent, and I had a special place, having been on the school board, I can say that we, as the MAT-SU, did not adopt the Common Core curriculum, but it's my understanding, and if you could, did the Anchorage School District adopt it?
Okay. The Anchorage School District adopted the Common Core state standards.
Okay.
There is no, there was no Common Core curriculum. Now, granted, there are publishers that are out there saying, oh, let's line our curriculum with the Common Core, but there are Common Core state standards, and so, and even in the MOU, there's nothing about curriculum. What we crossed off is Common Core standards. So
right. And
I'm there with you.
So the standards are what they, and so did Anchorage receive any Race to the Top? I mean,
right.
So they did, by adopting those standards, they... received a Race to the Top monies. And I guess what the question is, by the Anchorage folks, as they're asking, are they tied to certain areas that, let's say, the MAT-SU isn't in areas that did not adopt the Common Core standards?
Right.
What's the difference?
Okay. Race to the Top, we don't keep track of grants that school districts get. But Race to the Top was a very, very competitive. It just wasn't just money that, you know, who wants some. It was very, very competitive, and only very few states were able to get it. In each round, only a few states received Race to the Top, and they were given to states. I think I would have heard. Wouldn't have been necessary to hear, but I don't think I would have heard. I think I would have heard if they had applied and competed with other states and somehow beat out other states to receive Race to the Top funds.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is they're not necessarily connected. So with that in mind, did if Anchorage School District adopted Common Core standards, what's the advantage or disadvantage from the other school districts that did or did not adopt those same?
Right.
What would be the reasoning behind it?
I think the original reason was that they adopted the standards before Alaska had adopted our new standards. They raised the bar above our previous standards. Before we did, they said, time is ripe. The mayor's done some neat things in Anchorage, and he's he's had the educational summits and things like that. There was a lot of conversation about, you know, we need to increase the rigor for our kids. And I'm trying not to speak for Anchorage.
Sure.
But speaking to some of their school board members at the time, Gretchen Guest and others, they said, time's now. Let's do it. And even though they only adopted them a month ahead of ours, they felt that that was important. Juno adopted theirs a year ahead. But I don't know that they signed anything, or they just said these are the standards we're going to use. That would be something that you'd have to ask the school district. But I think it goes back to that letter that I sent to them. I said, I don't think at this point districts need to be looking at what standards do we adopt. There's a responsibility to teach and move our kids towards the standards that have been adopted by the state board that are in regulation. So if a district wants to adopt other standards, that's okay. They just need to make sure that they're still...
And that's what I heard you say in the beginning of the presentation. So we talked about the Alaska State standards that don't necessarily mirror but are very close to what the common core standards are. You discussed the actual curriculum and how that can be a local and locally done and is being locally done. And because I have a lot of friends and folks that I know in here that have asked a lot of questions, so I'm kind of summarizing some of the questions that we ask amongst ourselves, that it's still local control as far as the curriculum. I'm seeing the superintendent nod as well, and the school board. And I'm glad that you addressed that. I have to say that the cost of the assessments, be they SMART or BALANCE, and I think what we heard is we have not signed anything, or we haven't jumped off the cliff and connected ourselves with SMART or BALANCE, and where it just escalates and escalates. And that's a concern. It's a concern in the states that I know that we're looking at. I'm also hearing you say that we're looking at assessments, and we haven't really agreed which one particularly that we as a state are going to adopt.
We have joined SMART or BALANCE. So right now, I would say that's the front runner. That's what we're moving forward to implement.
Okay.
So I don't want to say we're not, but that doesn't mean we don't have our eyes wide open to see what else is being developed. Because without commitments, you know, as per our MOU, without commitments, total commitments to this consortia, we have that ability to continue to look. We're not planning on assessing until 2015. But we've got a little bit of time.
So I appreciate you making, you know, the difference between the standards, assessments, and what we have and haven't signed off. So if we can keep our questions close to the subject at hand, Lori?
So we stated that Alaska has already joined the SMART or BALANCE Assessment Consortium. This means that Alaska has given away her sovereign voice to a group that is led by one agent, and that is Washington State. I ask you to analyze the core document entitled Cooperative Agreement, which is an agreement between Alaska State agents, Washington, and the Department of Education. In this document, we learned that because we collectively are recipients of the SBAC's Race to the Top testing money, we must adhere to these mandates, which include synchronizing the test between SBAC and PAIAC, which creates a national test, illegal under GEPA law and the 10th Amendment. Sharing data that is collected by these tests with triangulated groups formed by the SBAC, the PARCC, and the federal government, giving phone calls, conferences, and other ongoing information to the Department of Education regarding all aspects of these tests. And I wanted to talk briefly about the curriculum. You say each individual district has the opportunity to pick the curriculum. What we have to remember are the textbooks are being done to the Common Core. They are aligning to the Common Core. So whether we pick a different textbook, it is still the same. They are changing the testing, and we need to be aware of it because bringing it here. And I think the biggest thing to me is stakeholders that are the majority stakeholders in the children's lives are parents, not universities, and certainly not employers. So I think we need to think about how this came about. I don't think proper public process occurred in this situation.
And I don't, you know, I was looking for the question. That was one heck of a big question. Can you speak to...
I'll just speak to it briefly.
Okay.
I'm not aware of... Haven't been on the ground working with the governor and working, you know, to join the SMART or BALANCE. I'm not aware of anything we've given up. I don't know. They haven't turned over any. They don't have any rights in Alaska. And we really haven't. We haven't accepted Race to the Top funds. Race to the Top funds were used, are being used, to develop that assessment. And that's why we're not paying anything. Race to the Top. But so in that sense, we still have. Smarter Balance doesn't have any fingers into Alaska, except unless we purchase an assessment.
Well, and as you can see, that we have a lot of parents that are very, very involved. So I know that this is going to be an ongoing discussion. I truly appreciate the commissioner being part of that. And as the Education Committee, we will continue on. And so I hope all of you have given us your emails, because we will add you as part of that. But with that in mind, Representative Sadler, did you have a quick question?
I do. Actually, it's got kind of a couple little parts for quick ones.
And if you'll speak a little bit louder,
thank
please.
Thank you. Commissioner, how many states are advisory to this Smarter Balance Consortium? How does it work for us to be only partially committed? And my most important question is, will it be possible to get statistically relevant comparisons between Alaska's performance and other states? Are we close enough to be useful?
Good. As an advisory state, we get a say in the conversation. We don't get a vote. So as a governing state, you actually get a vote. We don't have a vote there. But we also have stated that we haven't fully committed. And that was the trade-off for us. We'll give up our vote. We'll get a chance to have our say in the process, but we're not going to say we fully committed. I don't know how many states right now are advisory versus governing. And the last poll, able to compare, because we have to spend a little bit more time to look through and see how close our standards are. I'd honestly say 95%. I mean, we've never tried to hide that. They're very, very close. We've added some language. We've added some support language here. We've used different terminology in certain places. We've added some skills down lower, and they're not tested, so we would anticipate that those skills that are added lower, they're going to do really well on those skills when they first test in third grade. We think it'll be a valid test. I would be a fool to join an assessment that didn't assess what we were teaching. And I really do think they're close enough that it'll provide accurate results.
Thank you. And from the audience, Jen?
Hi. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. First of all, if I look at this MOU...
And let me apologize, we do have people from out of town, so if you'll introduce yourself and who you may be with, so these are my constituents. Who are these people?
Thank you. I'm Jenny Bettini, Conservative Patriots Group, and I'm also a concerned grandmother who has children in the school district out here. This is a memorandum of understanding, and it is also a request for grant funds. And it is Alaska asking for money from the federal government. Otherwise, why would you submit? Am I not correct? I mean, I could be incorrect on that, but you are asking for federal funds by a systems grant application to implement this program. Is that not correct? And also, the testing is only on English and math. Where does questions on Constitution, on American history, does that cover all that? I don't know. I'm asking simply this is one of my questions. Also, 24 states are now questioning whether they should even be involved in Common Core standards, something that's not proven. And once again, we're leaping to the federal government giving, and when you keep saying you're not giving up states' rights, anytime you connect with the federal government and you say it's not curriculum, isn't it correct? That's why he says, if you're going to have testing, I know teachers now that teach to the testing. Therefore, whatever's in the test, you have to have taught your students. Therefore, the curriculum will be based on the testing.
Wow, that was four questions, and I'll try to help you with that.
The request for grant funding, no, we're not looking for funding to implement the test. So that's not correct. Like I said, we anticipate the funding that we currently have from the legislature in the Department of Education to provide assessments, we believe, is adequate to implement this assessment. So in that sense, no, we haven't requested federal funding. In regards to the what's in the standards and constitution things?
Yeah, the concept of the standards inappropriately driving local curriculum. Certainly, if it is an expectation that kids know their multiplication facts by third grade, teachers across the state of Alaska are going to do what they can to make sure that kids know their multiplication facts when they're assessed on them in third grade. What doesn't happen, though, is the dictating of how that occurs. And maybe, Commissioner Hanley mentioned this a little bit ago, but maybe this would provide a useful example. We spent some time recently working with the North Slope School District. I actually did three trips to work directly with them between January and early March of this year. They have a very integrated approach to curriculum that they've developed. It's not happening anywhere else, not only in Alaska, but across the country, because it's driven both by the standards, the content standards for English, Language, Arts, and Math, and their Inupiaq learning framework, which is locally developed about what the communities on the North Slope want their kids to know and be able to do, very much tied to local culture. So when I'm looking at their curriculum map, the way that they provide clarity for teachers across the North Slope for how kids are going to learn the content and meet the local culturally informed expectations, those curriculum maps look different than anywhere else in the country. That's local curriculum. They're determining how they're going to be teaching kids multiplication facts at third grade. So I don't know how to be more clear about this issue between standards as informing content and local control over curriculum. Certainly, a local district may choose to adopt a textbook series as a primary way of teaching their children. And lots of districts move in that direction because of a great deal of mobility school to school within a district. And they want to ensure that whether a child is at this school or this school 12 miles away by snow machine or this school 12 miles away by car, that the kids are learning the same thing and there's consistency for those children when there's a high degree of mobility. Lots of districts do choose to adopt textbook series. The point, though, is that's a local decision, and those decisions statute are made by local school boards. They are not made by the Department of Education, and local districts get to decide that.
And we had Representative Keller in the back there.
Yeah, if I could, it's a rhetorical question, and I think it'll help clarify. And I think you've answered. I think Susan just answered it. But how much responsibility do you have, Department of Education, as to whether or not our kids learn or not? In other words, whether they succeed in their learning, is that your responsibility to the state? Do we give you money to make sure that our kids learn? And that's the question. I want a little bit of background on why I'm asking it. In a way, this whole issue is a distraction. It's really a distraction because the standards have been there for a long time. We go out there, we've had NAEP, as you told us. The trouble is, NAEP tells us that our kids are only doing like 35 or 40% proficiency level. Okay, so I'm asking you, is that your responsibility, or, how do you fit in the picture? I'm looking over there at Dina. I know that she carries a lot of responsibility on her shoulder, and there's a lot of superintendents and principals and whatever in the room, and they're diverse, and parents, it's basically ours. And this is something that, for me, the reason I'm asking is a rhetorical question and kind of making a statement is that it took me a while to get that to my thick head, is the EED. We do not give you money, I don't think, to go out there and make sure.
That, well said, that's a rhetorical question. But you're correct. Constitutionally, we set the standards. We provide an assessment so we can measure that so districts can be data-informed and see how they're doing on getting their kids proficient. And we have some responsibilities for supporting and providing some oversight if districts are struggling. But you're right. It's difficult. We don't step in and we don't teach kids. That's local decision.
Yeah, a lot of times, I'm just thinking, last week I spent all week with about 100 principals and superintendents from our rural districts in Alaska, and they frequently pressure us to provide a lot more input and direction than that is appropriate in our role as the Department of Education. And there's no bad or wrong intent there. They genuinely want support and help. And we're really very careful and very consistent to talk about what we do and what we don't do as the Department of Education, what is required of them through statute, and what is not required or prescribed in statute, and then really try to work with them so that they can make good, locally informed decisions. Talk a lot about what are the local processes that are going to ensure stakeholder input. What can they do in their districts and schools to make sure that that's locally informed? We talk with them about that, but we don't give those recommendations. We don't give prescriptions, even when they're asking us for them, because that's not our role.
It does become very much a challenge because districts without a lot of capacity, small districts in particular, say, well, just what's a good reading curriculum for struggling readers? But as soon as we at the state say this is it, we've suddenly chosen a vendor. We've chosen company A over company B, and we've really overstepped. We can speak to how they're laid out, what they provide, you know, how they're implemented and all those things, but it is a fine line.
And thank you. And I have two pages, so we'll be as quick as we can calling on people. Barbara.
Yeah. How I became alerted to the role of the Common Core, actually, was because on ULASCA's website back in March, there were meetings on the Common Core curriculum that were held in Fairbanks that I was being told by the governor's office were teachers in English. I could not figure out why that was being held in Fairbanks instead of Winter, and it didn't make sense to me. And they were sponsored by a group called AACB, which is the Alaska Administrators Coaching Project. That is, I take it, from you that's been around for a couple of years. It's offered by the University of Maine, I believe, but it's funded by WestEd on a Race to Stop grant. That is also the consultant to SBAC. My concern here is that I am seeing a lot of intricacies in the Race to the Top money through WestEd and through external agencies coming in and looking very Alaskan. I mean, who would question the Alaska Coaching Project, the Alaska Administrators Coaching Project? That sounds very Alaskan, okay? And then we track it, it's being, it's a college credit, professional learning being offered through the University of Maine. Oh, cool. Why is the University of Maine doing it? I don't know. Oh, that's because WestEd is doing the work. Oh, well, they're in Massachusetts. They just call themselves WestEd because apparently they want to look like they're out west. I don't know. And then I found out they're also the major project consultant on SBAC. And I find out that they're getting Race to the Top money. And this has been going on for longer than 2 years. This has been going on since the Obama administration, at least. So I'm finding this whole thing to be very troublesome. And I'm not quite exactly sure how appropriate it is that I'm watching this money flow in a way that is not supervised by the state or by the state legislature. Now, but this is for Joe's staff, and I guess what I'm wondering, I'm constantly in my mind, what has been the role of AACA in helping coach our administrators and our people in Alaska who are entering into this? I kind of feel like it's been like kind of a Jedi mantra.
Gotcha. I'll speak very briefly to how that came about, and Dr. McCauley was very involved in that training. When that information first went out about the training coming up, and you said it was a Common Core training, I looked at that and you said it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense to me either. I said, wait a minute. As soon as I saw it, I went, I'm not doing a Common Core training. And somebody had put together our information, who had just put together our flyers for us, had written Common Core on there. I said, that's not what we're doing. And I spoke to Gary Whiteley, who was involved, and others. I said, And I said, so we quickly, it wasn't a Common Core training, and I quickly fixed, you know, those flyers. I said, you know, it wasn't in there that we were going to teach the Common Core, we were going to train on the Common Core, but you're right, the flyer said Common Core training. And
it was an in-service.
Correct, right. It wasn't an it said it was an in-service on Common Core, and you're exactly right. And I said, wait a minute, somebody, who messed up on our flyer, because it's not an in-service on Common Core. But, so anyway, that was out for like a day. I'm glad you caught it, but it was changed right away. I can speak to, I'll let Susan speak to, the West Ed, the ties to the coaching project.
You can, but you're the commissioner, right?
Yeah.
This is ultimately your responsibility, right?
Well, I would agree, and we worked together. She was at the, she worked on the training. I thought she'd be a...
No, I actually, I'm concerned about the way the money is flowing. It's flowing around different other entities okay. into the state to give you plausible deniability, and I'm asking you about that.
Okay.
And you obviously are aware that this is what is funding this stuff.
That's what I'm trying to let you
know. It's not.
No, you know.
I do.
Okay.
I do. And since there's, Susan was a part of the whole training, I'll let her give first-hand information.
Alaska Administrative Coaching Project is entirely an Alaska program. It mentors principals and superintendents during their first 2 to 3 years in administrative positions in the state. It has absolutely no affiliation with West End. Its affiliation with the University of Maine is that for $2,500 a year, the University of Maine constructs a survey that is given to participants in the coaching program to determine the degree to which it has or has not been helpful in increasing the skills that they think are necessary when they're in their first few years as an administrator in the state of Alaska. So AACP, Alaska Administrative Coaching Program, is entirely a state of Alaska initiative and has been for a long time. It is similar to the Alaska statewide mentor project that supports teachers during their early years in Alaska, particularly rural Alaska, particularly in connection with attempting to reduce turnover, which is extremely high in rural Alaska. I just add one thing regarding the training in Fairbanks. The reason that the words Common Core were added was because there were administrators, principals from Anchorage in attendance. And so because Anchorage adopted the Common Core state standards, there were principals from Anchorage in attendance. That's why the initial advertisement said / Alaska standards / Common Core standards. And as Commissioner Hanley said, when that came to our attention, that was corrected. This is an EED program. We feel no responsibility to be training folks in Alaska regarding the Common Core standards. We feel responsibility to train them about our standards. That correction was made, and we have given further direction and very clear direction that for EED-sponsored events across the state, they are not to be referencing training for the Common Core state.
Okay, and we'll follow up on any of those questions. If you have any more that pertain, we'll certainly follow up and get back so we can keep everybody in the room. Representative Reinbold.
Okay, first of all, I want to let the audience know that we as a committee did not adopt Common Core. We were not consulted on it. We had nothing to do with Smarter Balance or anything like that. We're just investigating. We're having hearings. We're trying to understand and figure out what's going on, why this is overtaking the country at such a rapid pace, and in Alaska right now we're just trying to get caught up with some of these others. So I do appreciate the fact that you guys did inform us of some of the things that did take place. And I'm going to say 4 concerns I have, but first I want to say thank you, that I think it's good that we did not adopt the Common Core, that we did the Alaska standards. I think that was a step in the right direction. However, I am still a skeptic in regards to the Common Core, and a couple of the reasons why. On February 20th, 2013, there was a memorandum of understanding between the Department of Administration and it's signed by Vern Jones, the Chief Procurement Officer, which talks about federal content standards that gives us the ability to do the Smarter Balance. But the funding was through the U.S. Department of Education. And there's federal overreach in healthcare. There's federal overreach you know, all over the place right now with EPA, with resource development. This, to me, just appears to be a massive federal undercurrent. And it talks about the U.S. Department of Education developing the assessments to align with the Common Core standards. In addition, if we look at the MOU that was recently signed, it talks on page 6 about it being part of the American Recovery and Investment Act. Again, a federal program. On page 8 of the Memorandum of Understanding, it talks about Washington being the lead state, which to me, again, is alarming. In regards I was just at the NCSL, it's the National Conference of State Legislators, and we were talking about the Smarter Balance and the PARC. Again, I ask in a few years, where is this money going to, the Smarter Balance? It says we will be sending money to UCLA. Again, that's another red flag for me. So I guess one more thing is I was at a STEM program last week at the Anchorage School District, and there was a person from Washington State that was kind of helping lead and oversee me. And as much as we can say we want, you know, our own independence as a state, there's too many red flags here to ignore that I'm concerned that we are not, you know, establishing our own, overviewing our own, and that this is too broad. So I guess what I'm asking is, how can we be assured that we're not going to lose sovereignty of the state, especially when again, in this MOU on page 13, it says each state agrees to identify any existing barriers in state law, statutes, regulations, or policy, noting the barrier and how they're going to remove that barrier. So there's just a lot of concerns.
And, Commissioner, if I can I'm going to hold that statement. It's on record so that we can follow up with it. I want everybody to be able to have an opportunity to make a statement or a question on record. So with that in mind, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope everybody will look on page 7 of the Memorandum of Understanding. It doesn't specifically say there, but we've talked about this being an advisory state, and those are the commitments for an advisory state. This memorandum, of course, was written for all the participating states. And then there's the addendum that says this is the responsibility of an advisory state. So you can go pick out pieces of this memorandum that applies to participating states. Alaska is not one of those. So make sure that as you read this memorandum, you look at page 7 for what the commitment of an advisory state is, because it makes all the difference in the world as to what the commitments are, and remember that those commitments are for participating states. So with that, I guess I had a couple of questions from the presentation. One, first of all, was you talked about standards and narrowing the standards, you know, wide as a river and an inch deep, or narrowing the standards. How did the adoption of the new Alaska standards narrow the previous standards?
And again, if I can have you hold your answers,
okay.
Continue asking, because time is so limited, we will be sure to get this information back, and those who have not signed up won't get the information as quickly as we could. So be sure you sign up before you leave, email or so on. With that, continue.
Thank you. And then on another part of the presentation was the tool to assess our kids' item development, the tests, and the analysis. The item development, I presume that is each question that's going to be asked. And I guess with what we saw on the math, or what was reported earlier by Joy from Heartland there, was that 100% of the math standards for Common Core are included in the Alaska standards. And then there, I think you said there's 14 additional pieces. So when we're looking at Smarter Balance, we're using that to assess the items that are consistent with the Common Core. And then is the department going to have an additional assessment based on those 14 additional items so that we can compare across the state so that we get this full comparison? And I guess the only other question that I have is that one of the big things that we've been looking at is the adaptive nature of the testing, and we seem to be stuck on bandwidth and being applicable. And I know with Discovery Education, which is a huge database, they've said that they can send out mini servers to those places that don't have bandwidth. Is the department looking at mini servers that would allow each of these school districts across the state to be able to use an electronic version? Because I think the adaptive test nature, so that we get, so the individual teachers and districts learn information about the kids, is extremely important. And I would hope that we would look at doing that so that we gain full benefit of being able to do this assessment and then know what kids need to learn going forward. So thank you, Madam Chair.
And again, we'll hold the answers because you're going to give them to us. Representative Tammy Wilson.
Thank you, and I would say thank you, too. And as the sub-chairman, the budget for the education, we really kind of did start some of this conversation. And I would put that point in is that we have been doing our own tests, doing our own test scores, and we have heard from many as they've gone to the lower 48 that we're not testing at a level that these students are going to. And so, you know, we did ask the department to go out and look and find some type of testing mechanism. And I don't know if this is it or not, but, you know, we did start that conversation that we don't feel like we're being, you know, totally fair to our students. And I want people also to realize that districts can adopt their own standards as long as they're more rigorous than the state. And they can also go for direct funding from the federal government without the blessing of the state. So, you know, those are two things I learned along the way. So when you talk about other places have received federal funding, that could be. You can go out and do your own grant writing. The only couple questions that I'd like the commissioner to get back on is, I'm a little confused with Representative Seaton, kind of piggyback on his. I thought we were going to be looking at a test that would be consistent with what other tests are being given in other states, because otherwise, if we're doing item by item and adding more of our own as well, how are we going to be able to use that test to compare with other states? And then the cut scores, and by that I mean where are students proficient, above proficiency, will those be set by the consortium? Will those be set by each state? And so, you know, if our whole point was to go so we could compare our students with other students, I'm not too sure if we're making our own tests just through the consortium or using there. So, it's kind of confusing.
Again, thank you for holding your answers, and I know that you'll get back with us. Representative Peggy Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question I would like you to check into what exactly are the questions that are asked on the test that are personal questions. Because kids don't know, if they say, what religion are you? Well, kids will just put that down, and they'll ask questions. And so there's been a lot of hype out there about the personal questions that are asked on the test, and there's a lot of people that don't want their kids to have to answer those things. So I would like to know exactly what is on the test that's personal and not have anything to do with that, and if we can control that.
Amy, and if you'll introduce yourself for those that are from out of town.
I'm a grandmother who's very interested in the education system and a former teacher, and I hope I can express myself adequately. I believe we're looking at totally the wrong subject here, because we've always had standards, and the question is, our children weren't meeting the standards when they were lower. So why are we putting in new standards that are higher? Why aren't we looking at why these children aren't meeting standards, period? And I haven't heard one word about that from anybody.
Sure. And please introduce yourself.
My name is Wayne Ozofsky, and I'm representing my daughter. You guys support this. This is the standard. This is the Common Core standard.
It's a curriculum.
Yeah.
It's a textbook, right?
Yeah.
So I don't support that.
Said you support the Common Core standard. That's what they're teaching.
That's a curriculum. That's a decision at local level.
So anyway, you're supporting this pretty much. So you're setting up the students and the teachers to fail. I have teachers tell me behind closed doors because they cannot speak about Common Core. Why? This ain't Germany in 1933. They can't even bring this up. They have to bring me in closed doors because they can't talk about it. And I do my daughter's homework since kindergarten. And what you're teaching here, she can't add two and two. They want you to add two pennies and two pennies.
Sir, what school district are you from?
Eagle River. She's in
Fire
Lake.
Okay. Our superintendent is shaking her head and stating that's not Matt Sue. And
no, it's not Matt Sue. It's Eagle River. It's Anchorage. Anchorage is supporting this.
Well, I guess where I do want to make clarification, first of all, I hear you very clearly, and I understand what you're saying. And as far as the commissioner, what he stated was that we have standards, and then there's curriculum, and he is in charge of standards, not necessarily the curriculum. And I hear you loud and clear.
Right.
And certainly, not that I want to, but we do have some Anchorage folks here. And Representative Drummond was on the Anchorage School Board and is now on the Education Committee. And I recommend that you guys get together after the meeting. And you have been heard on public record. And I do appreciate you stepping forward. So those are definitely the concerns that we do hear out in the Mat Valley as well. And those are the concerns that folks are asking us to keep in mind and not to adopt. So I appreciate you standing up. Do we have any... did you have a question?
Yeah, I do.
Representative Peggy Wilson.
And I really appreciate you standing up, because I hear that also. And I'm from Southeast Alaska. And that's the question. Some schools are teaching subjects very well, and in my school district, I feel like they've done a real good job. But in some school districts, I don't think they're doing a very good job. So how do you, as the commissioner, make sure that each school district is doing what they're supposed to when we have this combination of so much local control? Because somebody's got to be in charge of saying, okay, who is going to make sure that they are doing those standards? That's my question.
And again, you're going to hold your answers. And I know Mike is sitting. And Mike, if you'll introduce yourself and at least where you're from, so our out-of-towners.
My name is Mike Coons. I'm representing myself. What are the elephants in the room that nobody's talking about? Because we're bringing this in, which is part of Common Core. The people that have put this together, Bill Ayers, the unrepentant terrorist, there was a couple ladies that you told me about that were extreme left socialists. There was, matter of fact, one that I'm aware of that's actually self-admitted Maoist. We got these people that by doing this, it seems to me that we get putting the elephant's nose is way past underneath the tent. And we got a problem right now, everything from the White House on down, that's scaring the hell out of us. Second point that I'd like to make is I'm 60 years old. I don't think when I came out of the womb I was any smarter than my mom and dad. The kids that are coming out of the womb today aren't any smarter than me or anybody in this room. But everybody's got a right. Some people learn right brain, left brain. Some people are more analytical. Some people are more mathematical. The question that was raised about history, where I saw a deal on Common Core and how they teach history, talking about how they're doing papers and stuff like that. I sat there and listened to these teachers, and they were talking Malcolm X. They were talking why did we start the war in Vietnam? Was that preordained by Johnson? It was all to the left. It was so far to the left, it was on my right shoulder. So that's the thing that scares the hell out of all of us, is we got Bill Ayers, the unrepentant terrorist, and Obama combined along with this, and we're allowing this whole camel in the tent. And I'd like to get out from here. Thank you.
And again, thank you for your statement. Ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't know you, but please stand up and tell us who you are and where you're from.
Annie Williams,
and I represent myself. And
from the Valley?
I am.
Okay.
And I don't have any children. I have a dog. So what I'm looking at is the impact of these kind of programs for the good of the country and the good of our students who will we're bringing up to take our place. So what concerns me is the Smarter Balance and the Common Core, they don't have, according to this big packet, which seems like we have to have something before we get to know what's in it, but there's no history, there's no constitution. And what I'm hearing from you is that it's up to the local communities to put that as a part of an important thing that we want our students to learn. And what I'm hearing, because this is something, you guys have been working on this for a couple of years, and I'm just starting to come up to speed in the last month or two. And it's scaring the hell out of me, too. I'm going to, as far as what Mike said, I'm reading that for SBAC, the Smarter Balance, primary writer is Linda Darling Hammond. And if you Google her name and look at the YouTube videos, I couldn't even sit through, I think it was a 10-minute presentation. Within 12 seconds, she spouted out so many different lies, I got shit to my stomach. And like Mike was saying, she is, I think she's a mouse.
She's
so far left that she wrote Smarter Balance. So why, an elephant in the room, why are we actually buying onto this program? I mean, it's a wheel that's already been created, so it makes our job easier so that we don't have to write something, but how is that going to affect us as a country in the long run? How is that going to affect our students as far as their knowledge of the Constitution? I understand in law school, they're not even teaching the Constitution anymore. And I could go off on a tangent on that, but it scares me. They just opened a data collection center in Utah. And what do you think is going to go in there? I mean, all this data mining information that we're getting from our kids, or these programs set out to get from our kids, are very personal and intrusive and have no place for our students to be answering these kind of questions. And I just don't like the direction this is going in. And I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate that you're listening, and I appreciate that if what I'm hearing, we're not encumbered at this point, but we're keeping you on a short leash right now, because I just don't like what I'm hearing. And this is nationwide. So in my opinion, all of this stuff needs to be scrubbed, and we need to start trying to bring our students up to the standards that they're failing to meet at this point.
And I thank you for your comments. And just kind of piggyback on your statements, you can tell that it's important. Not only do we have a meeting in the summertime versus waiting till Juneau, but you can see people travel from Ketchikan, from Homer, from all around, because this is very, very important to the Education Committee. So, your comments and your statements are being heard. They're part of a record, and that's why we wanted to have them on record. So I appreciate you coming and making those statements. With that in mind, Representative Hughes had a question, statement.
I think what the last 10 minutes and the opportunity for this to go on the record, I'd really like you to address some of these concerns because we are hearing those. And I encourage you to view some of the videos and read some of the things they are so you can specifically address that. And part of what I'd like to go on the record that you report back to us is regarding that 5% difference. You said that was Alaska standard, as far as the assessment, would be about 95% of what would be in assessments developed to reflect the Common Core. Perhaps if you address what those 5%, it might help some of the folks here. Secondly, I every time I hear smarter balance, it gives me butter. Yes. If you could, Dr. McCulley mentioned that we already collect some basic data as far as gender and grade level. If you could reiterate back to us what you provide in writing what currently is being collected as far as how much is revealed and how what would be after this as we start implementing the Alaska standards, so our folks will know what kind of data will be available. And then you mentioned that you're looking just at an advisory capacity for Smarter Balance and no commitment. You may go with the testing tool once it's developed, but still get no commitment. I think for the data mining piece, the scoring, that's the scoring piece. Now, a state could choose to go with Smarter Balance for the scoring. It sounds like you're not going there. So if you could, have you made a commitment not to go with the scoring part of Smarter Balance? If you have, please state that. And then how much control, I think someone, Amy, may have mentioned it too, as far as the, as you decide with the company for scoring, you will be agreeing to a certain amount of data being released, and if you have a set of data that you plan to, gender grade or whatever it will be, let us know to reassure us that the information about our children will be out there and available to folks. I think those things will really help address some of the questions that you heard in the last.
Thank you, Representative Hughes, and I'll remind those listening that I'm asking the commissioner to hold off on his answers now because he's going to get back. We want to go on record, Representative Dan Sadler.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Real briefly, because I know there's lots of stuff, I do appreciate the chance to have this discussion. I think standards are important. It's important for us as policymakers to be able to establish where we are relative to other states. But I also want to validate the concerns of people that standards become curriculum, become textbooks, and the camel's nose does get under the tent. That's a very fair, you're smart to keep a gimlet eye on that. Second thing, I appreciate parents and grandparents, maybe, and educators spending time here summer when it's still pretty nice and not raining to come here to an education meeting. The fact we are holding interim meetings does reflect the value that Representative Gaddis places on this issue, so I applaud him for doing this, and Wasilla. And thirdly, I guess, I want to credit Representative Keller for his curriculum bill to teach constitutionalism in schools. I support it, and I think that addresses a lot of concerns you've heard here, so I want to give a plug to the Palmer guy, so thank you.
Do we have any other questions from the audience or the panel here? Barbara, again, we're not going to answer, but you may make statements or questions because we are out of time. Barbara. And if you'll introduce yourself for the record and where you're from.
Barbara Haney. I am an economist. I was also a former educator in the state. University level, at the state level, I'm also aware of the databases that are available currently for DOL through the Department of Education. There has been a Chinese wall for a long time, and if you think you get Chinese wall, you would need a PhD because the data is always there for internal use. But let me get beyond that. One of the companies that is on record with SBAC, technology, firm called American Institute for Research. I have a copy of the memorandum of the conference. The website says SBAC has a program. Now, AIR, American Research, is a company that does a lot of research globally, mental health. They do a lot of things on transgender education, a lot of things on getting into nature of in their adaptive technology, and I'm kind of curious how this is specifically that Arnella's information has a big policy that they were about. Because I find it was a radical departure from the enlightened philosophy that I thought I voted for.
See you later.
I voted for kind of a guy who's kind of more towards that Christian end of the spectrum. I didn't think I voted for his seriousness and gave us the education guy who was after the about this. I'm deeply troubled about it, and it's been a problem in other states. And to kind of put this out there and smile and pretend like, you know, if you're not aware of it when I know you are,
I find it incredibly deceptive and insulting.
Okay, and the question and statement duly noted on the record. And Lori, if you'll make sure you give us who, what your name and who you're with, and I apologize for not making you do this earlier.
My name is Lori Kortenberg, and I am a resident of the Valley. I always go back to the question, how do we end up where we are today? So my question would be, who made the decision to start pursuing this? Was it through Governor Parnell or you yourself, the commissioner? How did we get to Alaska Standards Base? How did we get to where we are today? Why are we here today? And who made that decision? Was it the commissioner's decision or was that by direction of Governor Parnell? And once we get past that, I think we need to think, and I know Anchorage has adopted, from what I've learned today, that they've already adopted Common Core. I also know that there's something happening at the MAP-SU school district level that will be implemented, I believe, this year that is very similar, and I'm really concerned about it. I forgot to write down the name of it, but there is a name attached to it. I have it in my notes at home. I think the MAP-SU borough parents better be aware of it and start making some comments to the board and not let this happen. You have the ability to stop it, but it takes your participation to make it happen. Thank you.
And Lori, if I can ask you to email me that question in regards to the MAP-SU, I'll pass it on to the superintendent to make sure that we get that information so we can share it again with the crowd. Anybody else with questions or statements before we close? Representative Seaton.
Thank you. Just a little bit of clarity on some of the statements that have been made. The Alaska legislature, I've been there for, you know, 11 years. Through at least eight of those years, you know, being on the education committee, we've looked at education in Alaska and found it not adequate to the rest of the United States. One of the things that came out was that the standards that we had were not rigorous enough to provide teachers with the requisite pull, you might say, to make sure that kids were challenged in learning in the classroom. There's been a movement for a long time to increase the standards in Alaska. That came from the legislature through numerous committees over at least 10 years. Also, we found that there was no longitudinal database so that we had kids that would go through their elementary school and their records would not follow them to high school and the high school would start all over again. And the same thing that went through K-12, they'd get out of high school and the college had to start all over again because they didn't have the longitudinal database from those Alaskan kids that were going to Alaskan institutions. So these are things that have been, you know, not just the Parnell administration, previously looking at how do we improve education in Alaska. And the question, the flip side of that is, do we improve education in Alaska by making our standards weaker? Do we increase education in Alaska by not letting the next successive grades know what's happened previously? And that was not the way the Alaska legislature determined that we would improve Alaskan education. So Common Core came along in the middle of that as a group of standards that came from the governor's associations across the state, across the nation. They put that together, but Alaska had been moving in the direction of trying to get a longitudinal database so that kids would be at least a, their assessments would follow them so that they could improve at the most rapid rate and that the standards would increase so that we had kids that were highly qualified when they left our school. So I just wanted to make that statement that it's not somebody to blame, a commissioner, a governor. It's Alaska trying to address how do we improve our educational system in the state. If people have other ideas other than weakening the standards and not the next grade not knowing what happened previously so that kids can rapidly advance, you know, we've had lots of hearings trying to advance education in the state. And so I you know, I appreciate the fact that everybody's coming here, and I appreciate that, and the ideas to move forward and how to incorporate and get better education is, I think, that why we've had this meeting, and I appreciate everybody coming here today.
Right. And Lauren, do you have a final?
I just have one more statement just based off of Representative Keaton's comments about the state lobby criminal database system. And I'm just going to read from this because it's easier for me to do that. Using the student surveillance system, all children are tracked from preschool through the workforce, like Dr. McCoy said. Aggregated data is sent to the EdSAP data exchange on the federal level. Personally identifiable information is not yet sent, but is formally requested at several websites, including the National Data Collection Model, the Data Quality Campaign, and the Common Educational Data Standards site. Who determines at what point our Alaska SLDS, with its personally identifiable information, including name, social security number, family, health, and psychological information, will be opened up to the federal government? At a recent White House Data Palooza event, it was said that Common Core is the glue that makes all the data collection possible. Keep that in mind as we go forward. Thank you. And one more thing. Rigorous is we have to define what is rigorous. That word is getting thrown out so widely that rigorous has not been determined or stated. It's just a word that's used to make it sound better. So keep that in mind as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And even though I see some other folks that do want to make statements, I think you've made yourself loud and clear, and I really, really appreciate not only those that are online, but those who came here, and specifically the commissioner. And he knew it was going to be kind of a rough group, and he still came, and I really appreciate that because I think our goal is to be transparent. If there's something that we may have done with unintended consequences, we're all on the same side. That side being doing what we can do, what's best for our kids. And so I do appreciate folks coming from Juneau and from the department and from Ketchikan and far and wide, that they do know that this is important. And Representative Hughes is telling me it's just that tiny.
Really tiny, but I think it's really important. I meant to say it. It's harder to report back to us. Could you look at the political agenda piece? I mentioned maybe doing some of those things so that we know is there anything that are in the Alaska standards when we talk about how we present Vietnam or please report back to us so we have a sense, because if that's coming through the curriculum that's chosen at the local level as opposed to the standards.
Well, and we have talked in other meetings, so I'll piggyback on top of that, is in regards to resource development. I think that we acknowledge that we are a resource development state, so when we have anti-resource development curriculum and statements, that certainly goes against, I think, many Alaskans. So we want to be sure that we... anything to offer up in that. But anyway, with that in mind, thank you very, very much for joining, participating, being respectful, and it's exactly 12:30. We're half an hour over, but again, thank you for attending. And with that, this interim education committee meeting is now adjourned.